Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. Smithers Town Council met on Tuesday night for the last regular council meeting of 2023. I'll be sharing some highlights from the meeting today on the news, as well as an update on a contentious possible bylaw change regarding outdoor pets. Bylaw number 1780, the Animal Control and Licensing Bylaw, refers to the care, keeping, and enforcement of pets, which includes dogs, cattle, farm animals, hens, and fowl, but currently does not include cats. There have been posters circulating on Smithers' specific socials that are calling this bylaw the, quote, outdoor cat ban bylaw. Letters were sent to council to consider updating the bylaw to include cats, but here's Will George, Community Services Officer for the Town of Smithers, on that topic.
Hi, my name is Will George, the Director of Community Services with the Town of Smithers.
Okay, so Will, we were talking before, but there's, you know, like a poster basically circulating around Smithers about a potential banning of outdoor cats. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. So currently there is no bylaw concerning outdoor cats. We do have bylaw number 1780, which is our animal control and licensing bylaw. So there was a delegation that came forward to council from a resident on October 24th requesting an amendment to bylaw 1780 to include cats. The follow-up from that delegation that came forward was council thanked the presenter and directed staff to add the issue of adding cats to bylaw 1780, animal control and licensing, to the next standing committee of strategic priorities. Now that's scheduled for early 2024, where council will have a discussion around the proposal and what that would entail.
The Wet'suwet'en Community Forest Foundation presented a year review to council, who were quite impressed with the outreach, community support, and impact this organization has had in the Bulkley Valley this past year. Here's a brief clip from co-chairperson Gary Hansen's presentation to council for some context, as well as Silvicon Services General Manager Sam Coggins.
But Wet'suwet'en means blue-green water and blue-green clear water, actually, in Wet'suwet'en, and refers to the Maurice and the Bulkley Rivers. The chairman's report is in there. It's been coming up now 17 years since this tenure was awarded. Now, this says the 2022 recipient of this so-called Robin Hood Award. Yes, so we were pretty pleased to receive this award. There's 61 community forests in the province, so you know it's not a small thing. We have five basic core values for the community forest. If you go into the actual annual report, you'll see 11, but it sort of gets condensed down to five. We'll talk a little bit about them all, but our financial statements, this is just a bit of a summary of it for this year. You know, a lot of people have talked to me about Wet'suwet'en and, you know, about profit and everything else. And, you know, to be clear, it is a for-profit corporation. So when you look at these 2 years, they sort of are quite contrasting. I mean, on the one hand, our revenue is over 8 million in 23 and 300,000 in 22. So you sort of wonder what's going on there. So things can happen. For instance, in 22, wood got decked in the winter, but it didn't get delivered until after June 30th. So it falls into 23. And then we turned around and logged in 23 and did deliver in 23. So that's sort of the reason. If you really, the best thing to do here would be to average these 2 years. So we have income from operations, and then we have this thing called community building expenses. Now we have community donations there at 378,000, but really the biggest part of that, the community forest gives out grants to nonprofit organizations every year. Last year it was 350,000. And then we do donate to other organizations also. We have stakeholder donations at 150,000. So that's 50,000 each to the Town of Smithers, the Village of Telqua, and the Office of the Wet'suwet'en. Now that has increased this year, but again, this is as of June 30th of 2023. So the comprehensive income of 2.7, and of course a loss in 22. So you sort of average that out and it comes in at around, I guess, 2 million for the 2 years. So on average, about 1 million per year for the last 2 years. And you know, it's interesting, like we said, we've been working for 17 years in this business. We had the highest selling prices in 22 and 23 that we've had in those 17 years. So, you know, there's a lot of people to thank for what goes on at Wet'suwet'en. And it's interesting that Wet'suwet'en does not have employees. We do not do that. We contract out everything right to our general management. Silvicon has had the contract for general management since inception. We've seen quite a few different general managers, but you know, in this business, that's not uncommon. Obviously, we thank our shareholders, the Town of Smithers, the Village of Telqua, Office of the Wet'suwet'en, for their input and engagement, and community members. For sure, we rely on them. We've just had our AGM. We did receive input. We have regular meetings with the community. Very important to get their input. There's probably a couple of things missing there. The sort of the government end of things, we deal with lots with Rec Sites and Trails BC. We deal with the Ministry of Forests. We deal with Northwest Fire Center. We deal with a lot of different government organizations. So they're to recognize them too. And you know, we're always looking forward to a safe and productive future. So with that, I think I'll turn it over to Sam.
Okay, thanks, Gary. I'll try and zip through this quick. So as Gary mentioned, I'm the general manager as of 2 weeks ago. So I'm repeating the presentation that was given by Aurora Lavender before me. Don't ask me any hard questions at the end, please. So we wanted to acknowledge the Powers Creek fire. This was actually in the 2023-24 year rather than last fiscal, but it happened right at the beginning of the fiscal year. So we thought we'd bring it up. 34.1 hectares burned in that fire. I think it was got under control pretty quick and got it put out. So there will be ongoing work to figure out what to do with the downed wood in there. Operations update. So there's been 75,000-ish meters cube of timber harvested and delivered. Sales went to PIR in Smithers. And when Seton Forest Products was still operating, they're currently on a short curtailment. We sold wood to them as well. And then tonnage went to Drax at Pinnacle Pellets. Always want to talk about safety in forestry. So there's not been any serious injuries or fatalities in the community forest since the tenure was established. And we try to work with safe certified companies all the time. So under BC Forest Safety Council. Some long-term planning that we're doing. So we want to make sure that this forest resource stays viable, operational. We want the community forest to continue. So we want to improve on the resource. To do that, we need to know more things about the community forest. We can use, and to understand new things, we can use new things. So we can use new technologies like LIDAR. We've had an enhanced forest inventory being done to help us understand more about the values in the forest. That builds on the vegetation resource inventory data that the province puts out. We've also undertaken predictive ecosystem mapping, and we're starting land use planning to understand Wet'suwet'en values. So going back to some of those core values, the enhanced stewardship program was implemented by the community forest some time ago. I'll find out when that was. And through that, so we're doing things like the shaded fuel break on Hudson Bay Mountain, so thinning out trees along the road to make a bit of fire break. We held a community S100 course. So the S100 is firefighting, the basic firefighting for anybody who wanted to come along and do that. I think we had a few people that participated. Sylvan Gathering Area will be in the next couple of years, the site of a prescribed burn, which has been done to enhance Wet'suwet'en values. So it's a forest garden area for the nation. And climate change adaptations. So we're looking at planting different tree species. There's been one block that's been planted with larch, which is a bit of an odd one. And we're allowed to do that under the stocking standards in our forest stewardship plan. We've upgraded the Twin Falls Rec site. We held some activities for National Forestry Week. We did some huckleberry planting, put up some bat boxes. We had a pretty solid social media program that Aurora was heading up. We're hiring someone new in to come and continue Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and get the word out there of all the stuff the community forest is doing. And apparently we're doing some master planning that I'll find out about. So totals to date, and I think this is just about the last slide. So totals to date, the community forest in its existence has sold about 875,000 meters cubed, given or contracted over $25 million worth of work to local firms here to the Bulkley Valley, planted about 3.5 million seedlings, and given 3.2 million in annual community grants and another 1.4 million in stakeholder donations.
The town of Smithers' most recent Parks and Recreation Master Plan was developed in 1998, and the plan in its current form is outdated and fails to reflect the community's vision and needs around parks and recreation. However, community priorities have also changed since then, and via town engagement sessions, feedback has shown it's time for a new plan that reflects the town of Smithers more accurately. In April 2023, the town selected RC Strategies to develop the Smithers Parks and Recreation Plan within a budget of $100,000 and to choose a task force of community representatives to steer the development of the plan. Here's Will George again, as well as Recreation Manager Laura Allen on the topic.
Okay. Next report also from Mr. George, and it is the update on the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, and it is for information. Mr. George.
Awesome. Thank you kindly, Your Worship. Before I mention the timeline for this one as well, I'd just like to welcome our new recreation coordinator with the Town of Smithers, Ms. Lauren Allen, and she has a brief hello to say to council here. I was hoping to have our new economic development officer, but that will be a meeting in January so we can have a full slate of community services, but that'll be a further meeting.
Thank you, Mayor Attrill. So my name is Lauren. I'll just kind of give a brief overview of what I'm doing as a recreation coordinator. So I've been working for the town just shy of about 3 months now. It's my first role working in community services. Previously, I had worked in parks and recreation as a contractor, so I've been on both ends now when I lived in Victoria. It's great to be back working in the town I grew up in and seeing so many familiar faces and being able to work with the community too, of people I grew up with, and also to be able to provide a service that can aid in enhancing the health and well-being of our community. So just a quick overview of what my role is. So as a rec coordinator, my department encompasses a lot. First of all, mostly communications and networking with recreation organizations in our community. I do a lot of bookings and program development for arenas and fields, as well as at Riverside Parks. I also ensure that the demands of public priorities and aspirations are being acknowledged and try to develop creative ways of implementing these needs into action. This is done mostly through networking, outsourcing, applying for grants, as well as building strong cross-sector relations with active organizations in our community. My biggest goal working in this position is to build a stronger sense of what the recreation limitations are in Smithers, one definitely being that we don't have a recreation facility. So definitely needing to be more creative with how we can develop more programs that can help more entry-level programs, I guess I should say, specifically for the youth and senior demographics, and just really to try and ensure accessibility, inclusion, and diversity in our community. Thank you.
Mr. George, you wanted to say something about the rent plan or the parks plan?
Awesome. Thank you kindly, Your Worship. And thanks for the overview. Just wanted to draw, so both this one and the economic development plan were updates to council to make sure that council is aware of the progress for both of these. I will note on page 2 of this report, some points of interest that have been gathered, some data collected with key themes from the draft plan. It'll be coming forward in 2014. So far to date, we've received 550 points of engagement. That was through the mail-out survey, youth surveys, online engagement. 113 of those were from survey responses from youth in the community. Quite beneficial to see that. And 39 community groups have engaged with the plan, whether they're through individual one-on-one interviews and engagement. So both this and the previous report, we're seeing quite a bit of involvement and the overlap that organizations are feeling when they're involved with the town. Included in attachment A, you'll see a timeline as well. The plan is to be brought forward to be completed in May 2024. And we have two remaining task force meetings, as well as various draft master plans coming forward and council reviews. So this is for council's information for the next steps for the remaining of the plan moving forward. And then you'll see in the second attachment there, a list of all of the different community groups engaged to date, all of the different user groups and those that have fed into the creation of the Parks and Recreation Plan.
Smithers Library Director Wendy Wright and staff typically arrive at work around 9 a.m. and the library is not scheduled to open to the public until noon or 10 a.m. on Wednesdays and Fridays. During days when the temperature was below minus 25 degrees Celsius this year, staff opened the doors to the public early to allow community members a place to warm up. Library staff were not directed to open early during extreme cold, but were instructed by the library board that they were permitted to if they wished. The Smithers Library is not officially designated as an emergency warming center and receives no funding to operate in this capacity. The Smithers Public Library operates in a town-owned building, and the property is leased to the Smithers Public Library Board on a 5-year term. The Smithers Public Library is classified as a municipal library, and libraries are established by local governments, but operate semi-independently, managing the business and service delivery aspects of their operations with various financial, risk management, and advisory services provided through the town of Smithers. In the letter submitted to council notes, Library Director Wendy Wright finished her letter saying this: "The library staff strongly encouraged the establishment of an emergency warming center close to the encampment and support the situation table representatives in their efforts toward this goal." Recently, the library staff met with the Smithers Situation Table to discuss encampment-related issues. Here's a clip from David Schroeder, the Director of Corporate Services for the Town of Smithers, addressing Town Council.
15-3, we have a report from Ms. LeBlanc and on the library being used as a warming center. Just, and the information is for receipt, but if there's questions or comments, no. Mr. Schroeder first then.
Thank you very much, Mayor Attrell. This report is being brought to council as follow-up from the resolution passed from a finance committee meeting, I believe, in which council wished to have the topic of the library warming center on the agenda. I also do wish to make one note on the report. It was clarified to us that it was not the library chair that directed the opening. It was the library director. And that was just a note we were advised of.
Thanks, Mr. Schroeder. Councillor Patterson.
Thank you, Your Worship. And question through to staff. On page 2 of this particular report, where it states there is risk exposure to the town in instances that claims arise because of negligent operations. And then staff go on to say further agreements could be considered during the lease renewals. I was just wondering if town staff were able to speak at this time, if they felt there was a need for us to amend our current agreement.
Mr. Schroeder.
Thank you very much. And through the mayor, not at this time. The agreement will be coming back to council for consideration in a handful of months here. The agreement will expire on March 31st, 2024. So at that time, we will be reviewing that agreement and particularly with respect to some of these, the risk pieces.
Thanks, Mr. Schroeder.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.